and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, I am indoors right now getting a little warm after barbecuing in the midst of a snow flurry up here in Toronto. We just had our first dusting of snow. How are things down there in New Mexico?
We had our first dusting of snow this morning, too, and I haven't gotten out to put any steaks on the grill, but I'll probably do that later on this evening. And unlike you, I think I probably still, I'm old school. I use a Weber cook kettle and charcoal, so it's probably a little more challenging than turning on the gas, Rob.
Yeah, that's what I do. I take the easy way out, Mickey. I turn on the gas. The subject at hand today, specialty metals that are critical for modern technology. Last time out, Mickey, we focused on gallium number 31 on the periodic table. Today, we're moving right next door to number 32 on the table, and that is germanium. Fill us in on the history, Mickey, and also being neighbors on the periodic table, are there a lot of similarities between germanium and gallium?
There really aren't that many similarities, except perhaps their uses. Germanium sits, as you have said, right next to gallium. On the right side is arsenic. Above it would be silicon, and tin below it. So it fits in there with the metalloids, and it is really essentially a very specialty metal, commonly referred to as a doping agent, which means it's added in small amounts to other elements to make useful applications. Mm-hmm. It's lustrous, it's hard, it's brittle, gray-white metalloid with a high melting point. And if you remember, gallium will melt in your hand, so it's somewhat different characteristics in gallium, not found in a free state. It's pretty rare, 50th in the abundance in the Earth's crust at 1.6 ppm. Interestingly enough, it was one of these elements predicted by Mendeleev when he was constructing the periodic table in 1869. Mm-hmm. It was not discovered until 1885, and lo and behold, it was discovered in one of our favorite places for elements to be discovered, and that's in Saxony and Freiburg with complex ores. And we've gone into this before, really one of the first historic modern-day mining methods were developed in Saxony, discovered in 1885 in a silver germanium sulfide mineral.
Okay, and I believe the gentleman who found it, Clemens Winkler, and if anybody out there listening, Mickey, is wondering about the name of this, he named the element after his home country, Germany.
Just as gallium was named after Gaul or France, so much similar naming there. It has five natural isotopes. Only one is slightly radioactive, but that leads to its use in nuclear batteries where it's bombarded by neutrons coming off of radon. It has an interesting history in the fact of its use. It was pre-World War II. It was generally viewed as a non-useful, poorly conductive metal. Mm-hmm. But during World War II, it had some radar applications. And post-World War II, demand skyrocketed when it was discovered to be a semiconductor. So in the late 40s to the early 1970s, it had great uses in transistors and diodes and rectifiers, essentially small-scale electronics, until it was replaced by very high purity silicon. But if you're like me and grew up in the 60s and listened to the ball game on your silicon transistor radio at night, germanium made that possible. So that's how I got my introduction to the St. Louis Cardinals. Starting in the 1980s, demand started picking up again with fiber optics. It's a critical component in silicon glass to carry fiber optic signals. It is also transparent to infrared, so it has increasing use in night vision goggles and infrared detectors, also used as catalysts for polymers. As we said before, it's quite rare. Mm-hmm. There are no mineable deposits. We'll get into that a little bit at the end of the interview here. Mm-hmm. But it's quite expensive. The source are zinc smelters and fly ash from some germanium-rich coals in Russia and China. It is refined to a very high purity, essentially germanium metal that's used in substrates for semiconductors has to be, is purified to 10 parts per trillion. So it's one of the, it can be refined to one of the highest purities of any known substance on Earth.
Yeah, I believe last time out, gallium was what, 99.9999?
Right. So you'd add, let me do the math here, you'd add three more nines to it to get to 10 parts per trillion, if my math's correct there. Regardless, it's quite pure.
Yeah.
Production's dominated by China because they have all these zinc smelters and they also recover from fly ash and coals, mm-hmm. Much greater than Russia, greater than the U.S. And the U.S. Production comes from a couple of sources. Indirectly, it comes from Tex Red Dog Mine in Alaska. Now, that smelted, a significant amount of that smelted at Trail BC. Mm-hmm. So it comes via Canada. Also, the Tennessee Mine and Smelter Complex there, Elmwood, et cetera, owned by Nystar, which is a Belgium company. They started recovering germanium in late 2012, which is the first time that's been done since for about 10 years. But interestingly enough, recovery of germanium slowed down their zinc production, so they're working on that right now.
Okay, where are we in terms of total global production? My research, Mickey, indicates that before the end of World War II, we were looking at, and this is total global production, maybe a few hundred kilograms of germanium in terms of total production. By the end of the 50s, we were looking at upwards of 40 metric tons. Where do we sit today? Any idea?
Yeah, well, according to USGS 2011, there was 118 tons of world refined production, and 2012, 128 tons. Now, that would not include recycling from scrap, which is about 30% of the market. Mm. The price is, it's just quite expensive. We're looking at the end of 2012, somewhere around almost $1,700 a kilogram. Mm. The price has risen over the last year or so, interestingly enough, because, as usual, China put an export tax on the product. They mm-hmm. also shut down three polluting recovery plants, and then toward the end of 2012, they announced their state reserve board was going to purchase 20 tons of germanium on the open market, which they weren't able to do. So because of that, markets have been very tight, and the price has gone from 1400 a kilogram to $1,700 a kilogram for this very, very high purity germanium metal.
Okay, and do you see this as being a metal that will be increasingly in demand as years go by, or will we end up finding perhaps substitutes for it? I mean, and you know, silicon has been substituted for a lot of what germanium was initially used for. So where do we sit there, do you think?
Well, there are certainly some substitutes, other metallic compounds can be used for LEDs. Germanium substitutes for gallium arsenide. So zinc selenide can be used in for infrared apps, and also they're coming up now with germanium glasses that are transparent to infrared mm-hmm. with some germanium in them. So that's why last year when you went out and bought your latest set of night vision goggles, they were cheaper than your previous version. So, and I know, Rob, that I've you're got a lot very of... much a gun aficionado and have a set of night vision goggles
I've got...
in your hunting and fishing room, correct?
You read me like a book, Mickey. I've got three or four. I know you've got three or four sets, that's for sure. Okay, is that pretty much it for germanium?
Well,
you think?
I would like to talk just a little bit about, before we go here, about some of the new uses. Silicon germanium semiconductors are coming on the market, and they're very, very high-speed integrated circuits, so your computers are getting faster. Solar panels, mm-hmm. Outer space photovoltaics, we mentioned LEDs. Mm-hmm. Interesting sterling silver alloys. There's a product called Argentium, which reduces the natural tarnish of sterling silver. Here's one, and I know, Rob, you will relate to this. One of the uses in the 60s, and is still used, is for fuzz faces. You know what a fuzz face is? How you get that fuzzy sound from your electric guitar is a pedal called a fuzz face.
Okay,
So people still play in rock and roll fuzzy guitars.
Yeah. I often consider it an easy way to cover up very mediocre playing, and it sounds cool, but yes, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. One of my favorite bands kind of pioneered that, and that would be Todd Rundgren and the Nazz, if you remember that band.
I remember.
Came up with that whooshing fuzz sound. So anyway, as we said before, there are no primary deposits in the world, but that often doesn't keep a junior from attempting. In the last boom in the mid-90s, there is a mine that's rich in gallium and germanium in St. George, Utah, called the Apex Mine. Mm-hmm. It's very deeply oxidized. It's copper, arsenic, gallium, germanium oxides. The Vancouver Junior tried to mine it. They went bankrupt, and that mine is now dormant, but it is owned by Hecla, one of the premier silver miners in the world.
Okay, well, that sounds like it's pretty well does it for germanium, Mickey. So we've covered gallium as well. What's the next metal that is in your sights?
Well, we're going to go back diagonal below gallium, and that would be indium, and this is another one of these new high-tech use metals, and not very much demand, and it's a byproduct of other mining, but lo and behold, a junior someplace will try to mine it. We'll talk about that next
yes,
week.
Yes, that's the nature of the business indeed. We'll wrap it up there. Mickey, thanks very much. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, look forward to it, Rob. Thank you.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.